The battle lines are clearly drawn.
We don't look at people listening to our music as people out to rip us off.
The billions of music files shared on the internet.
In recent years, 12 billion unauthorized downloads worldwide would be a very conservative estimate.
And the billions of dollars in music sales.
If you steal the music and get it for free, you're probably not going to buy it.
After all this time, can these two sides ever live together?
Our experience has been that the more we've embraced this technology, the better things have gone for us.
I like big butts and I cannot lie. You other brothers can't deny.
Tonight, happy media, music, and the internet.
Want to throw up stuff because he knows that butt was...
From ABC News. This is Nightline. Reporting from Washington, Chris Fury.
Not so long ago, swashbuckling pirates like Napster ruled the world of online music. Now Napster has gone legit. Even Walmart sells songs online. And other corporate giants, including McDonald's, Pepsi, and Sony, are pitching the promise of free music. That is, if you buy their French fries, soft drinks, and televisions. But the explosion of the online music industry has not ended the debate over downloading and swapping files. Just this week, California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger signed a law making it a misdemeanor for anyone to trade songs or films without providing an email address. The idea is to make it easier for police to track people who illegally download copyrighted material. And the recording industry continues its own crackdown. It has sued more than 4,000 people for swapping songs without permission. Record companies argue that online piracy has cost them nearly $2.5 billion since Napster first came on the scene in 2001. The irony is not all artists are convinced such behavior amounts to theft. Later we'll hear from the lead singer of the band Wilco, which encourages its fans to download free music. But first, correspondent Robert Krulwich explores the current state of piracy on the net.
Check this out, because I've never seen this before. This data stream flashing by shows millions of people from all over the world privately and illegally trading music. So if you slow this way down, you can see that this person wants Peter Frampton Comes Alive, this one Limp Bizkit, this one Janet Jackson. 20 million people hunt these sites every week. So what you're looking at is their secret list of desires. And because it is so simple and so easy to go on the internet and find any one of these songs, any song at all, and with one click download that song right onto your own CD, so now you've got your favorite music for free, no wonder the music industry is howling in pain. You know how many songs are downloaded every month, say? Eric Garland knows.
In a typical recent month, it would exceed 1 billion. That's 90s.
A billion songs a month means 12 billion songs downloaded a year. The record industry argues that every time somebody downloads a song, chances are companies lose a sale.
There has been a massive impact as a result of piracy, online piracy.
And you're sure it's downloading that's causing this problem? There aren't other explanations?
Oh, you can have an argument about this, but I've seen plenty of data that tells us that when you go online and you steal music, the likelihood that you're going to then go out and buy it is reduced.
Is he right or wrong?
Well, I would say largely wrong. Largely wrong.
This spring, Coleman Strumpf of the University of North Carolina and Felix Oberholzer of Harvard Business School produced a study, and startlingly, they found the effect that downloads have on music sales
is virtually zero.
Virtually zero, like no effect at all?
That's our basic conclusion, yes.
Wait, 12 billion songs stolen, it has no effect? You sure there's not something wrong with you? Or with your data, maybe?
Well, we thought there was something wrong, and that's why we've spent about 2 years analyzing our data. And every single time, it just came up the same way, not much effect.
The professors looked at a sample of all musical downloads worldwide over a 17-week period in late 2002, and they found, this is the quote, it would take 5,000 downloads to reduce the sales of an album by one copy. Could this be? Well, it has been true that the singers whose songs get downloaded the most are also the singers whose songs sell the most. For example, take him. He calls himself 50 Cent. He is one of the most popular musicians in the world, so popular that according to Big Champagne, 30.73% of all the people who download music in America had a 50 Cent song. So his songs have been stolen about 15 million times. And yet, says Benjamin, a music lover from New Jersey,
his albums have been sold millions of times, and he's made a lot of money as a result.
This doesn't puzzle you?
Clearly not as much as it puzzles you.
Okay, but I still don't get this. If you can steal songs by 50 Cent, then why would you buy songs by 50 Cent? Well, sometimes, says Professor Strumpf, stealing leads to buying.
One way in which downloading could perhaps operate is people use this as a way of sampling or learning about music. They find out new music that they wouldn't otherwise have learned about, and then the stuff that they like, they go out and buy.
And nowadays, with iPods and portable players that store literally thousands of songs, people are sampling more music more of the time. Take Benjamin.
You wake up and you're listening to music.
Yes.
Then what?
Then I take a shower and I'm listening to music.
Then what?
I get dressed while I listen to music. I drive to school while I'm listening to music. I walk to class while I'm listening to music. I stop it during class, but then I bring it back as I walk to my next class. I go through the day like that.
All the way to bedtime when he listens to what?
Something a little soft to sort of set the tone.
What, because you couldn't go to sleep cold?
No, but it's more fun.
Okay, but during all that listening, there's a bigger chance that Benjamin and his friends will discover musicians, and not just Eminem and 50 Cent, but new kinds of music, says Eric Garland.
There is no question that at this moment in time, more people are being exposed to more music and a greater variety of music than at any other time in the history of popular music.
And with all that music in our heads, even though we weren't intending to, some of us buy. But wait, what about the fact that music sales did go down?
Shipments are down about a third over the last 3 years.
If the music business suffered and downloading isn't the cause, what is? Professor Strumpf blames the 90s. The 90s were too good to be true, he says.
That the 1990s might have been the anomalous period rather than the current period. That in the 1990s you had all these factors that were boosting sales in a somewhat unusual one-time effect.
Because in those flush times, kids had more money for music, plus hip-hop was new and huge and a big seller, plus adults were replacing records with CDs. But after 2001, flush times were over, so kids had less money for music. Hip-hop is older and sales are flatter, and adults have replaced their CDs. That's why sales have dropped. Now that the economy's up, sales are going up. But industry lobbyist Mitch Bainwall insists, nope, downloading does hurt.
The economy's not collapsed by 30%. Sales of physical product has collapsed by 30%. So there's clearly a disconnect, and the change in the equation has been rampant online piracy. I don't have any question that that is the dominant influence on the decline.
The study has not yet been peer-reviewed by other scholars, so all this is very preliminary, but we could consider a radical notion here. What if stealing turns out to be the best thing that ever happened to the music industry? It's a notion that I will call, for reasons you will learn in a moment, the Chumbawamba hypothesis. I get knocked down, but I get up again. Yes, record stores are suffering and sales are still weak, but the record industry has seen worse, lots worse. This is New York City's Radio Row. And if you look closely, you'll notice that every one of these stores we see here as we ride down the street sells radios. In the 1920s and the 30s, radios were so new and so novel, people would gather on the sidewalk just to hear music being projected out onto the street. That's what they're doing here, listening. And once lots of people bought radios, they could then go home and hear music for free.
And nobody had to go out and put down a dime to hear these things. And of course, that did have an impact.
Chick Crumpacker, archivist for RCA Records, says sales of phonograph records dropped 93%. A wipeout. The record companies blamed radio for the murder of music. They demanded royalties because the radio, they said, was copying music without paying and without permission. They sued. They complained to Congress with the same arguments you hear now.
They were decrying the latest technology and shaking their fist at it and saying, it's the end. And of course it wasn't.
That fabulous Chuck Berry and Oh Baby Doll.
Baby Doll.
In fact, 20 years later, radio had gone from being music's mortal enemy to music's best friend, the number one way to promote new products to a new generation. And the question is the internet radio all over again, a technology that first scares the industry and then helps the industry? Well, the argument for the internet is that it gives the customers a voice. It lets them tell the companies, all right, here is what we want. Case in point, Chumba Wumba. This is a band that had one hit song, this one, Tub Thumping. If you wanted to buy this one song, it was tough.
This song was not available as a single, as an individual song. It was only available as part of an album.
Because once upon a time, record companies had what they called singles. You may remember these. These are 45 RPMs. They had one song on one side and then a B song, they called it, on the other side, and they cost, what, about 60 cents. So if you really liked one song, you could buy the song for almost nothing. However, about 15 years ago, the record industry pulled these records, and now if you wanted to hear the one Chumbawamba song, you have to buy an album, which costs 17 or 18 bucks.
People bought that album by the millions.
When you got the CD album, did you enjoy the other 12 songs?
They're awful.
And the problem is, we remember that. We remember that I paid $18. And I really got more like a dollar's value out of that CD.
And this happens all the time. There are 19 songs on 50 Cent's breakthrough album, and only 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of them get significant downloads. Most times, people only like one or two songs.
Yeah, precisely. I mean, the great lost opportunity here is that we took the single away, and the internet gave it back. The customer never tired of the single. The customer has been obsessed with collecting singles from the beginning.
But why spend $17 on a CD full of terrible songs if I can call one of my friends and have him download the song for me for free and then play it for me for free? It's not like I was ever going to listen to the other 11 songs anyway.
I like big butts and I cannot lie. You other brothers can't deny.
Once the internet, Napster, Kazaa showed that people wanted singles, business delivered singles. Apple's iTunes sells single songs for 99 cents each, so you pay, Apple sends the song directly to your computer, and it's all legal. So, one could argue that the internet forced the music industry to solve its Chumbawamba problem.
So won't the real Slim Shady please stand up?
Now, if you want one song only, you can get one song only.
That's all.
The final question is, if you've still got millions of people stealing, and you now have millions of people buying online at 99.89 cents, which way is it going to tilt, towards commerce or towards theft? I asked a professor who follows these things at New York University, Siva Vaidyanathan.
I firmly believe that we are going to have to be comfortable with a commercial music industry with lowered expectations and digital file sharing with lowered expectations. We're going to have to live in a world with both.
Maybe Americans are stealing 12 billion songs a year, but surprisingly, they're also buying about 6 billion songs a year. Not bad.
And that's why we shouldn't be so alarmist.
Because buying, apparently, in stores and online is not going away.
You know, the sky's not falling.
Well, maybe not. Or at least, not yet. I'm Robert Krulwich for Nightline in New York.
They began as an alternative country band in 1994. They become one of the most popular rock and roll acts in the country. And joining us now, Wilco founder, lead singer, guitarist, and songwriter, Jeff Tweedy. And Jeff, as professionals, you and your colleagues in the band, through your own talent and sweat and blood and tears, have produced records that people are willing to pay money to buy. So why would you be willing to give that away for free?
Well, because I think that music is above commerce. If you look at music as an art form, as something that really depends upon the collaboration and consciousness of a listener, then it's really hard to make the argument that it's something that belongs exclusively to you. I think the difference in the way that we look at it, and the way that a lot of people that have a problem with it look at it, is that they're trying to treat music as if it were a tennis shoe or a coat hanging in a store or something. That's and like it's exclusively a product.
That's exactly what the courts have ruled, though, that music is intellectual property, and therefore it's not all that different from a loaf of bread. And if someone wants to go in and sample a loaf of bread in a store, he or she's going to have to pay for it, and if she doesn't, then they're going to be arrested for theft.
I don't agree with it. Our philosophy has been that we don't look at people listening to our music as people out to rip us off. We look at them as patrons of the arts. Our experience has been that the more we've embraced this technology, the more that we've allowed downloading and encouraged people to check out our music, the better things have gone for us. We've actually sold more records, and our profile has increased in the last 3 or 4 years, probably in large part due to this openness as far as sharing our music.
But of course, that's exactly what the record industry is saying, that they have lost because of all that free material available, or the fact that people are willing to take it illegally, that they have lost billions of dollars and put thousands of people out of work.
I don't believe that. I don't know. I just think it's a really cynical idea that everybody that really loves music is being kind of cast as a thief. And I think that if the record industry spent as much time, energy, and money into looking at ways that this technology could be used to their advantage, as they do spend time, energy, and money prosecuting downloaders and their parents and, you know, kids, I think that they would probably rapidly come to terms with it in a way that was something would be beneficial to them.
You may love your fans, and your fans may love you, but certainly you'd have to agree that not everybody is in it for love. I mean, some of those folks who are recording music are making burning copies and selling it and making money off of you.
I've never experienced that. I don't know. I mean, I've never seen that. This industry is traditionally terrified of any new technology. The entertainment industry in general, with videotapes and cassettes, there was real fear that was going to destroy the movie industry with videotapes. And, you know, of course, that's become like the predominant thing that supports the movie industry. It's grown exponentially, and it's the same with music. There's just more ways for people to get music, and that's not a problem. The music industry isn't suffering because people don't care about music anymore. It's actually because they can't get enough of it.
Jeff Tweedy of the band Wilco, thank you so much for coming on tonight.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
And that's our report for tonight. I'm Chris Buehring in Washington. For all of us here at ABC News, good night.
ABC News, honored with 5 Emmy Awards for excellence in reporting. More than NBC, more than CBS. No wonder more Americans get their news right here. ABC News.